Okay, here we are back, just busy, all the time busy. We get to talk once a month to one of the truly most remarkable minds of our time. This man is a friend of this program, and I consider him a friend of mine for many years. Gerald Celente is able to see things clearly that we call the big picture. And he distills that in his brilliant magazine, The Trends Journal, which we've been running a commercial for. And I really do hope that you will sign up for that. Take it for a year. See what you will see for the first time what news magazines should have and could have been. The Trends Journal is without question, as I've said over and over, and I think it's the perfect analogy, is what Time Magazine once long ago might have been. So keep that in mind. Hello, my friend. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the kind words. You see what the magazine is. I mean, last week was, what, 165 pages? You know,
it's almost getting to be a phone book.
Yeah, it is a book. Yeah, and people say, you know, it's a book. Hey, look, when you don't have to read everything. We're telling you what's going on in the world. Read what you want. But it's the only magazine that tells you what's going on, what it means, what's next, and what you might want to do to prepare, prevail, and prosper in the future. Because we are on a trip like you could not believe. Anybody, you know, like I've been on your show, like you were saying, what, about 20 years? I mean, how many years?
Yeah, over 20, right? I think.
And we've been bitching about what's been going on before. Who would have ever thought it would have declined into this? 2020, everything changed.
Yep.
2020 vision? No. 2020, we went blind.
Good one. Yes, you got it. We went blind as a culture, as a society, individually, collectively. One-third of us in this country, approximately, still have their vision. These people are our last hope, right? The two-thirds, a lot of them have buyer's remorse now. Oh, my God, what have I done to myself? A few of them, relatively few. The rest of them are on board with the mainstream media. What do they think they call it programming for? Programs,
yep.
Programming. So those people, tragically, we're going to lose a lot of them. We already have. And I'm so tired of seeing these horrible stories about going after children now, Gerald. They're trying to sterilize them. Little children are bleeding from their nose and other orifices, and they can't stop it. 10 and 12-year-old girls, a 14-year-old boy got a nosebleed, and all three of them were transfused. He died. They survived, but barely. So this is not a joke. It's a bioweapon. Don't call it a vaccine, friends. Don't. It's a bioweapon.
And again, why are you vaccinating children when, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or I should say the crime of, you know, their criminal organization that sees wrong, but even they say the recovery rate of people 1 to 19 years old is 99.997%. So why are you vaccinating them at all?
Well, you want to sterilize them. That's the truth. You want to sterilize them or kill them.
But it's more than that. They've been doing it forever. They've been doing it. You can't go to school in New York. You couldn't go to school if you didn't get the vaccinations before this happened.
True.
Here, I want to make this very, very, very clear. We do not have a government. It's a crime syndicate.
Oh, yeah.
So the crime syndicate is run by the banksters. It's run by the drug dealers that morons and imbeciles call Big Pharma. It's run by the military-industrial complex. And it's run by Big Tech. End of story.
You got it. It's right there. Right there. I don't know where this is going in the next...
Oh, I know where it's going.
Let me finish. In the next few weeks, few months, they talk about that Walking Corpse talks about this dark winter. They've got things planned. They know. And I don't know if you agree, Gerald, or not, but we know that they've been using supercomputers for 30 years or 40 years to war game, war game. And they use the same technology to game our society in terms of attacking it, doing what we're doing to it now. They know in advance how the people are going to react. They know in advance how certain military responses are going to manifest if there's a war. They know.
No,
this is all supercomputer
stuff.
I totally disagree.
They don't know anything about anything. This has been going on forever. You know, you go to school, right? Oh, your Peloponnesian War. Oh, the War of Roses.
I haven't heard that for years.
The 100-year war.
Yeah.
This crap has been going on forever.
I'm talking about the minutia of social response.
And I'm saying that the people, I got a chart that a fan sent me of Napoleon's march to Moscow.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You know that chart?
I've seen it. Yep. Ain't much
left
at the end.
He leaves Poland with 410,000 men. Not men, young boys who they BS'd and they bought the crap and they got dressed up in their military drag and followed him. He leaves with that many, 420,000 people.
Yeah.
Gets to Moscow. He comes back to Poland with 10,000. They all died.
No, it's amazing. I remember
seeing
it.
It's been going on forever.
Oh, I understand.
There are parts of life in what we learn about where there are times of peace, times of a renaissance, times of beauty. Very, very short.
Make no mistake, I have no doubt that they understand the basic militarism of an attack on anything, whether society, a culture, or a military operation. I get that. But I'm saying they've got technology now, and they have the public so dumbed down and so programmed that they can tweak it, Jeff.
They've always had them. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, a Yankee Doodle Do or Die. All right,
I know.
They've been doing it forever.
We're on the
technology
same page.
Doesn't make a difference. It's only in that we're in that field right now. Look, it went from bow and arrow to you know, what were those things? Those things that threw you know, big things over the walls, you know, to rifles, to airplanes, to jets. But it's always the technology changes, but the human mind is still, you know. The dumb are the masses.
True. Yes. Absolutely. All right. Let's roll back here. Hold on. We've got October here. Are you seeing an October surprise as in a singular event? Somebody asked me this the other day. Or my response was, no, I see a multifaceted collapse in October, which you could call the October surprise if you want. It's coming down. It's coming down all around us. It's not one thing.
Oh no, it's coming down from. Let's talk about the. All right, they're saying right now that inflation is being caused by the disruptions in the supply chains, right?
Oh yes, yeah.
Not a peep. Hey, how about all that cheap money that you pumped into the economy? How about all the money the government dumped into trillions, tens of trillions, governments all over the world? That has something to do with inflation? Oh, no. How about negative and zero interest rate policy? Dumping all that cheap money in, all that fake money, that had nothing to do with inflation? No. It's the supply chains. How about go screw yourself?
So yeah, now, especially the guys in the white shoes.
Yeah, the white shoe boys.
Yeah.
And they're screwing us. And they probably like to screw each other, too, because I look at these little guys, they're not men, you know.
Oh, no, they're soy boys.
Arrogant little crap head.
I know.
Arrogant little piece of crap. $31 million last year he made. $31.7 million. We, the moronic people of the United States, bail these too big to fail banksters out, the Federal Reserve dumped in $29 trillion secretly to bail them out. Secretly. And then they're caught in violation of the law, fraud, rigging the precious metals market, not making it up, it's a fact. They paid a lousy $900 billion fine. $900 million after rigging the markets for years, and nobody goes to jail. And then I got to listen to this arrogant little piece of crap spewing his bullshit out of his mouth. You know, there was a guy whose name was Jesus Christ. He made a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple. The J.P. Morgan Chases, the Goldman Sachses, the Black Rocks,
the Vanguard,
the Wells Fargo, the Bank
Vanguard.
Of America.
Yeah.
And then what happened to Jesus Christ? 3 days later, man, guy's hanging on the cross.
Was it only 3 days? Gerald,
that's
was
right.
It just 3 days after he drove
three
him out?
3 days after he drove him out, he's hanging on a cross.
Wow.
So maybe Jamie Dimon will send his goon squad out to murder me.
They kill
because
people
if
all
he
the time.
Tries to come at me man to man, we'll see who
is. It ain't going to work if he tries that. He would get his head handed to him. Look, these are very, very difficult times for people. Our country is fragmented. There's no real honest way I can't imagine putting it back to you. It's Humpty Dumpty. It's broken. And that's
it's
what
broken.
They wanted. And that's what they got. So
I that's why I disagree with you. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. We have psychopaths, sociopaths, pathological liars.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't like, brilliant boy, we're planning this out. We're planning this out. They're crazy people. They're insane. They're making the crap up as they're going along, as I see it.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that. Look, greed. How much greed is too much greed? These people are
never
driven
enough.
By something. These people are driven.
Greed.
That's right.
They never have enough.
No.
Never have enough.
I agree.
They never have enough.
Never.
Look at these guys. Look at that Buffett. Look at that Gates. Look at that Bezos. Look at what was that guy, Tesla? What that was, a Musk? Look at these guys.
Don't forget about Pelosi, who made $210 million. What was it? Was that it? Out of a salary of $200,000 a year during his tenure. His tenure, her tenure.
They give back nothing. They give back nothing.
No. Hold on. You just said the whole story. A man or a woman should be measured by what they give back to the planet and the people around them.
They give nothing.
Thank you.
You know what they give? They give crap spewing out of their mouths.
Right.
That's what they give.
I agree. I have no doubt about it. I just think that with all of these, now you've got some superior economics people around you, and you are a wizard at it. We've got hundreds upon hundreds of ships lolling around in the Pacific and the Atlantic with hundreds of thousands of containers on them, and they're out there, and they're saying, oh, Christmas is in trouble, you can't buy their toys for your kids to show them how much you care for them. Somebody's missing something here, just slightly. It's missing the barn with a shotgun. You don't need to buy anybody anything for Christmas. So when I hear this, I want to puke.
That's beautiful. What you just said is great. What you just said is terrific. You don't need to buy anybody anything for Christmas.
No, that's not love. No. Come on. That's not celebrating a season.
They made this crap up. What, the late 1800s, they started this bullshit.
That's right. And they had their first Christmas cards always had the idea of Santa being red and white. It's the, believe it or not, Gerald, I don't know if you've seen anything. It might make a good article. That's too late, I guess. The Amascaria? I'm close to it. You all know what I'm talking about. There's a mushroom, and it's red. It's a red-capped mushroom with white. And that's where the Christmas colors came from.
Wow.
The Amoscaria or Amoscarita, I'm sorry I'm close. But I've seen Christmas cards from the mid-1800s in color, and they all have these red and white mushrooms. And that morphed into Santa in his red and white outfit, and those are the Christmas colors. People used to take these mushrooms at Christmas, and they'd have hallucinations. But it wasn't like hardcore LSD. It was a gentle thing that was very cultural back in the day. But the muscaria mushroom, I think I'm close. Anyway, that's the deal. That's why you always see in Christmas cards these little red and white mushrooms.
Yeah.
It's true.
And again,
I've got a story about it. I'll send it to you.
I'd love to see it. Yeah, and again, they made the whole thing up. I mean, everybody, you read this stuff about how the department stores started making up the whole Christmas thing about giving gifts. You know, they made that crap up. You know, I'll never forget, I've got to tell a quick story. My dear sister, she's in a nursing home, my sister Grace. I wrote about it in my Zizzy book, What Zizzy Gave Honey Boy.
Yeah.
And we were living in the Bronx, and she's on a bicycle on Allerton Avenue, and fell off the bike and broke her arm. And they put the arm in a cast. Instead of putting the traction bar, you know, on between the thumb and the finger, they put it under the thumb and put the cast on and put her in traction. And the pressure of the traction bar on the thumb, you know, she's crying and crying. And this is back in the days in the early 50s when the doctors were gods. And they said she was a crybaby. And I write it in my book, my father cut the cast off and gangrene had set into her hand. And she lost 3/4 of her hand.
Oh, God.
And I'm a kid. And I'll never forget this. And we used to go shopping, you know, Christmas time, you know, they buy all the stuff. And I'm crying, you know, I want this, I want this, I want this. I'm about 7 years old, 8 years old. I'll never forget this. And my father said, stop crying. You should be ashamed of yourself. You want all these things. Look what just happened to your sister.
That's true. It's all true.
I was a kid.
They think about what they did.
I was a kid, and I never forgot that. I wanted this, I wanted that, it was Christmas, yeah, I'm buying all, you know, you're a little kid, and you listen to all the crap that they're shoving down your throat on TV and everything.
They took advantage of children.
I want this, I want this. He said, you want this, you want, I'll never forget that.
Yeah, your sister would like her hand back. That's what counts. They use children, they mine children like it's a resource for money. It's greed driven, and the children having a chance. And shame on the parents who most never figured it out. Christmas is not the spirit of buying.
No, the Christmas was, you know, my mother, may she rest in peace, was the oldest in the on my mother's side of the family, and everybody used to come to our house. There'd be 20, 25 people there at Christmas. They used to start around 1:30 in the afternoon and go to about 9 o'clock at night. And man, there was nobody ever. It was such a wonderful, 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 wonderful time. It was so great. And again, it wasn't about the toys. That was in the morning. But when all the cousins and aunts and uncles came over and celebrating those days, it was a riot.
That was extended family. That was family. Oh. See, we don't have family anymore here. Not like then.
It used to start with like. They'd have maybe they start with a turkey or something like on Thanksgiving, and they go from it would start with an antipasto, and then lasagna, or if it was Easter, then it'd be ravioli, and
I'm with you.
And then later on, the turkey or whatever it was that was celebrating, that would come later. And then we'll go on and on, and then the pastries, and all the aunts and the uncles would bring pastries from all the neighborhoods that they were at, and they would all be different pastries, and then they have espresso with anisette, and the parties used to go on, and there was never a negative energy. Never.
I agree. And by the way, those dinners, they were not... You know how people just pig out now and they eat and they get up and they go? Those dinners were enjoyed. They were served slowly. They were served with class, with elegance. They went up for hours.
Yeah.
And so by the end of the dinner, you still had room for pumpkin pie, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the
kids are going out and playing in between, out
True.
The streets,
True.
Oh, yeah.
No. Gerald's right. Go out and play. We'll have pie in 15 minutes or whatever.
The
turkey will be ready next. Yeah.
Yep.
How nice. I would give anything to be in just one Christmas dinner with your family. Wow. I mean that. That would have been an unforgettable treat. All right, hold on a minute, and Gerald and I will be right back. Okay, welcome back. I found two stories for Gerald. One is entitled When Santa Was a Mushroom, and it's the Amanita muscaria mushroom. And I almost had it right. Amanita muscaria. It's a mild hallucinogenic, and it makes people feel good. It made them feel like family. It's just a warm and cozy kind of a thing. If you study up on this, you'll know. When Santa Was a Mushroom, Amanita muscaria and the origins of Christmas. So there's one. And the other one is called The Mushrooms of Christmas Home Site. James Arthur, the late James Arthur, put that together. And they're really some remarkable things. You look at all the cards from the 1800s and you see just these beautiful, everything's red and white. Red and white. You'll see. It's all themed on the mushroom. Because the mushroom was a very special treat during the holidays. So I'll send these over to you.
You
might want to post one. I don't know if you can squeeze it in the December edition or whatever.
That'd be great. That would be great. I'm going to do it. Matter of fact, I'm even you see the covers of the Trends Journal. These are New Yorker covers, 21st century. Anthony Frieda. This guy's a genius, my God. And his passion and his knowledge is, that's why they look what they look like. And I'm going to pass that on to him, and he'll come up with something that really symbolizes what it really is.
It's on the way, and you could use one of these on the Christmas cover, whatever. I think you'll get the idea. You'll like it. It's nice.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's history. It's true. And then the bankers took over, and they converted the mushroom into greenbacks, and that's what they did. All dollars. If you don't buy your kid a new smartphone, you're not a parent.
Yeah. Jeff, I was listening to you, when we took a break, and you talk about Fukushima.
Yeah.
So now in France, in order to commit to climate change, you know what they're going to do?
No. The French are weird, so nothing would surprise me, but tell me.
Well, the French are weird. Who isn't weird?
That's true.
I mean, come on. Oh, America is so... it's not weird?
We're beyond weird.
No. America's not weird. No, we have Mitch McConnell. We have Lindsay. Did you come out of the closet yet, Graham? Oh, you mentioned Nancy Pelosi. I got this little piece of crap, Chucky Schumer. Oh, no. Who else we got? Oh, Diane Not-So-Feinstein. Oh, the French are weird?
We have
I forgot who the president is.
Macron. Don't forget that. Look, they're straight.
No, the president of America.
Yeah, oh, that guy. He's a walking corpse. He's a dead man.
That's what I'm saying. You're saying the French are weird?
I grew up with French people, and I know a lot about the French people. So
look, anyway. I had one of the best women of my life, Marie-Pierre, and her brother, Francois, was the
That was
left
my
shoulder.
Uncle's name, Uncle Francois, yeah.
Yeah, Francois was the left shoulder of Jacques Chirac and Mitterrand.
Hmm.
And my close combat teacher, John Perkins, used to go over to Palace Elysee and work out with these guys.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I used to spend some time in Paris. So anyway, going back to what you...
I got to do this. Hold on. Do you remember... Damn it, I don't remember the name of it. It was a movie set in Paris about 100 years ago. And what's his name? Owen Wilson played the main character. It was like a time travel movie to go back in France in the 20s when Ernest Hemingway and all the luminaries of the time were there. It was a Woody Allen movie, and I can't remember the name of it. And it was fascinating. I was one of his better movies. Anyway,
fabulous. I was mentioning France. You mentioned Fukushima. What they're doing now in France, and you mentioned Macron. I call him the little Katsone Macron. Another little boy, a little nothing of a craphead.
You got it.
What they're doing now to making their commitment to climate change, they're going to build more nuclear power plants.
Oh, another stroke of French genius. Let's build more nukes. I don't care who builds more nukes. They're out of their minds. We never should have split the atom, Gerald. That was the
end. I'm just telling you what's going on.
I got it.
I'm telling you what's going on with the lunacy.
Yes.
And no one, you know, I gotta, you know, you see the magazine. I gotta read all this crap from going, you know, from the Financial Times. They write these stories as though they're positive. That in order, you know, so we're not gonna burn coal, we're not gonna burn these fossil fuels, that we're gonna go more toward nuclear energy. And we're gonna be, and we're doing this into our support of climate change. That's how sick it is.
Wow. Well, doesn't get
But again, you can't
that.
Pick on the French. It's a lunatic world all over the world.
I just threw it out there as a lark.
It's all
Look,
over the
they
world.
All have their own, they all have their own quirks.
We have psychopaths, sociopaths, pathological liars running and ruining our lives in a country near you. Hey, look at Italy. Oh, yeah, you like Italy? Oh, I know. You love the Prime Minister of Italy, Mario Draghi, the former guy that was the head of the Italian bank, worked for the World Bank,
the
head of the Goldman Sachs gang. Yeah, that ran the European Goldman Sachs division, head of the European Central Bank, and now he's the Prime Minister of Italy. Oh, how wonderful.
What happened to Renzi?
Renzi was a little nothing. They just a little play. But look at Cinque Stelle, the five-star movement, and Lega, the league that were going to be the populist parties, and they brought in Draghi. I mean, come on. Italians.
That's beyond a sellout. Beyond a sellout.
Yeah, I'm saying it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
You're right. Did you ever see the... those three young men that the singers call Il Volo. They're fabulous. They've been singing together since they were like 12 years of age. And they put on these outdoor concerts, at least they were before this phony pandemic came along. Outdoor concerts. One I think they did at Pompeii. You know,
I've seen them, yeah.
Fabulous.
Have you been to Pompeii, by the way?
No, it's the one place on the planet I'd like to go.
I'm going
to
tell you, man. I went to Pompeii, and if you go to Pompeii, you better spend a day there.
Well, I'd spend more than that.
You're in a whole other world and a whole other life.
Yeah.
And when you look at Pompeii, and you look at the grandness and the beauty of what used to exist to the crap that we have now,
right,
you could see how low society's fallen.
Good point, and I have spent so many years looking at color photographs of what they've dug up. They haven't even dug up nearly, I guess, half, not even half the city.
No,
it's
nothing,
still covered.
Nothing.
They'll never get
and
there.
My family,
found,
by the way, was from between Pompeii and my father's side, may they all rest in peace, was Vico Quense, which is between Pompeii and Sorrento. But you go to Pompeii, I mean, you got to be there to feel it and see it. The beauty of, you walk into a house and these beautiful, you know, the floors are all, you know.
Oh, marble?
Tiles.
I mean, not marble, tiled designs.
And designs and, you know, making a statement when you walk in.
And the walls are still painted.
Everywhere.
I've seen it. You've been there. I really envy you for having been able to do that. That's really something. That's great.
And you look how low it's gone now. The New York City, you can't recognize it anymore. All this ugly steel and glass crap everywhere. No style.
No heart. There's no soul.
It's gone.
Nothing.
It's gone.
No. None. They have, you know what they found recently in Pompeii? It's fascinating. They found, they dug them up, and they were like, let me say, there were four big, like woks. You know what a wok is? It's a round kind of kettle and you cook vegetables in it. It's a wok. You know what I mean? It's not like a deep pot. It's a flatter pot. Anyway, they had this corner thing on one of the people walked in. They didn't drive cars, so they walked. And they had on a corner, it was like we'll call it a fast food court. But they were all beautiful vegetables, and they found the four walks where people would come up to, pay their money, and they'd get their food,
yep.
And they'd go. It was amazing to see. It was the same idea, but wholesome, nutritious, beautiful. And some of the frises, I guess you call them frises, but the work with the inlays and things, stunning. I would urge all of you to go online and look at as many documentaries as you can go look at Pompeii. It's special.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Hey, you know, Jeff, I want to mention a little bit about what's going on in the markets.
Yeah.
And what they're all saying is that the reason we have high, and you've been getting my magazine for years, and
yeah,
you know we were saying inflation was real going back a year, while they are lying and say it was temporary, then it went to transitory, and so we said that's a lot of crap. This is going to be on for a while, and now we're seeing it in front of us. Do you know what the price? When I was a kid, my father had a 1957 Cadillac Coupe de Ville.
With the fins.
Yeah.
I
Not
remember.
The big ones, the flat
no,
ones.
No,
that
I
was,
know.
That
I
was
got
the
it.
Best year. And a black one with black and white interior. And the front seat was like a couch. And anyway, I think it cost
really
like
did.
Five.
The Cadillacs were really luxurious. They really were.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, and I can't tell you the stories when I used to take my girlfriend to the drive-in because that would be another thing. But anyway, I think it cost about $5,000 or $6,000. Do you know what the average price of a car is now, according to J.D. Power?
No, I give up.
Give a guess.
35.
$40,638.
Average. Wow.
Average.
Well, there you go.
So now I'm talking about the markets and inflation. And now they're spewing out this crap. Well, you know, it's we're having difficulties with the ports, and we have blockages, and no. That's part of it. Let's talk about the big part of it. It's a thing called negative and zero interest rate policy. When you're pumping in all this cheap money, that's where your inflation came from. Your inflation came from, well, we're going to pump in $3.5 trillion because we're going to help the people get through the COVID war. That's where your inflation came from. What they're talking about, the supply chain disruptions, that's minor. Minor compared to all the cheap money that they put in with the government and the Federal Reserve. No one is talking about that.
Not at all. No.
So now you're looking at, they're saying that they're going to start tapering, which means they're going to cut back.
Tapering.
They're going to cut back on buying government and corporate bonds. They're only doing it to about $15,000 a month, and they're $15 billion a month, and they're pumping in now $120 billion a month. What the big money is going to, the real difference is that is when they raise interest rates, this economy is going to collapse like we've never seen before.
I'm sorry, but you're right. It's going down.
Like we've never seen before.
No, unprecedented. No question.
So what I'm, you know, the motto with the Trends Journal is think for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's GC's, Gerald Celente's, GC's 3 G's, guns, gold, and a getaway plan.
Getaway plan, that's the hard one. That's the hard one.
That's the hard one. Because where do you go?
Right.
So now going back to gold, the other one is Bitcoin. And it's not what I like, what I want, what I wish for. It's what is. And when you look at the Trends Journal, we have called out the breakpoints of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll put my track record up against anybody's. We said when it broke about over 10,000, you know, over several months ago, we said, okay, it's on its run. Right now, where it's trading, we've been saying now in the Trends Journal for some, well over 2 months, we said that when the cryptocurrency starts solidifying above $55,000 a coin, it's going to take off again. We gave the downside, it's a new Trends Journal, when we said if it hits this point, it's going to go down to back to 8,000, 10,000. So we're not taking a position on this. We're seeing it the way it is. So we said 55,000, strong over that, and now as we're speaking, it's heading toward 59,000. What I want, what I wish for, what I like, and nothing to do with any of it. But I'm just saying this is what we see. And you're seeing this because the younger generations, gold and silver isn't their lives. It's the technology age, which you were saying before. And this is a techno currency. It's the 21st century. Love it, hate it, whatever it is, it is.
How high before it comes down again?
It could go. 100? The only thing, and again, we've been saying this forever, that's going to bring it down is when governments take control. Do you know who the biggest country now mining Bitcoin is?
No, I'm not up on that.
The United States.
Really?
It went from China because China banned the Bitcoins because they're coming out with a digital currency and they want no competition. People don't buy stuff with cash anymore in China. They put their phone to the thing. So they're coming out with a digital yuan. So they're banning it because they don't want competition. Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies are going to go down when governments ban them because they don't want competition. Everything within the next 10 years, 15 years is going to be all digital. There's not going to be any cash, nothing, gone. And now that when they have all that digital, they're not going to want competition. That's when the cryptocurrencies are going to go down.
Interesting.
And they want digital. They want digital because they know every penny you spent, where you spent it, what you spent it on, so they can get their tax dollars because these low-life little scum don't work.
They'll tax it as soon as it goes into your account. It'll be automatically taxed.
You got it. And now you see what's going on with Biden. You spend $600, and bam, they know where you spent it, how you spent it, what you spent it on.
It's not passed yet. Let's hope.
I'm just saying where it's going.
Oh, I know. I know.
We're not talking about tomorrow or next week.
It's going there.
Yep.
They'll control it, and if you don't get the shot, they'll shut your money off or whatever.
Yep.
All the potential.
I'm supposed to go do a big gig up in Vancouver in January, and I can't go. No shot.
Well, unreal. Well, Canada's gone.
America's gone. Italy's gone. France is gone. Singapore's gone. Hong Kong's gone. Name of the countries. Oh, Portugal, only a 98% vaccination rate.
Now they're gone. The name of the movie, thank you, Zach. The name of the movie is Midnight in Paris.
Yep.
Woody Allen.
Yep.
While on a trip to Paris with his fiancée's family, a nostalgic screenwriter finds himself mysteriously going back to the 1920s every day at midnight. It's a little fantasy movie.
Paris back then. You know, after the war, the war destroyed. Again, thank Woodrow Wilson for making it worse. That was the beginning of the whole, what was the name of that, that design? I just drew a blank. That was the whole design of new buildings and everything
Art Deco.
Art Deco. That's where it began, and the hippest Americans were going to Paris.
Well, they've got it all laid out there. All the names were there. Hemingway. The movie was wonderful. I don't know if you've seen it recently.
Years ago I saw it.
Yeah, it's worth a watch for all of you out there. Just time travel. That's what it is. And well done. Very well.
Oh, I love Art Deco. And that was New York.
You should see what I have. If you were out here. I have, over the years, collected 1930s Art Deco radios. Radios, Gerald. 1930s. And they were
gorgeous.
My
parents, 1934, what was the name of it? I drew a blank. I have their radio. That was a wedding present for my father's side of the family.
Table model or
Atwater
big console?
Atwater Kent. I have an Atwater Kent radio.
Nice. So you have the console then, the big one.
Oh, yeah, the whole big thing.
Yeah. Well, that was like a TV for people. But they'd sit around, and they wouldn't stare, and they wouldn't drool. They'd think. Because the theater of the mind was what radio catered to and encouraged.
And listen to the music. It was classical music, the jazz. It was classical music. No, you don't have to learn how to play the instrument anymore. We got high tech.
I'm telling you, some of these radios were then astonishing.
Look, how many people ever heard of the word Atwater Kent?
No, nobody. I know it.
Yeah.
Going back,
I want to, as we're winding down, stay very important. Follow what's going on in Turkey. Their lira hit an all-time low. When all else fails, they take you to war. And I believe Erdogan is going to take the Turkish people to war either against the Kurds or the Syrians. And if war starts breaking out in the Middle East and spreading, you see where oil prices are already?
Yeah. Oh, I hear you. I got it.
So that's just one of the many, many things we're talking about in the Trends Journal.
Okay, Trends Journal, dear friends, please go to trendsjournal.com, look at it, and give this man a vote of confidence for the incredible leadership he is running for all of us now. This magazine will keep getting, it's like, you remember Architectural Digest when it was at its peak? It was an institution. Well, my mother was the editor-in-chief of that, Gerald, for over 35 years.
Wow.
35 years.
God, I love that magazine.
Okay, well, it's garbage.
I had no idea.
She resigned about 6-8 years ago.
Wow.
After all these years. When she had it, it was a... you remember. All right, so Trends Journal is about that kind of a thing. It's that special, okay, in its own right. It is unique. It is singular. And you literally could not get better news to read anywhere. No commercials.
Nope.
No commercials.
If you buy the toilet paper record, the New York Times, they call themselves the paper record, but it's a lot of crap. It's $3 a day. The Trends Journal, $2 a week.
The Times is $3 a day?
Yep.
Oh, please.
Yep.
Garbage.
Garbage. And this is $2 a week. $2 a week.
Well, I hope all of you heard that and will take advantage of it. You cannot do any better. You just can't. It's that special. It's what Time Magazine might have been, but never had a chance to. Listen, talk to you next month. Be safe. All the rest. And I wish I could sit down with you and your family at dinner. As a child, I would have been in heaven. And I really admire you having been able to live that kind of life. That's great.
The only reason I'm me is where I came from. That's it. I couldn't hold a candle to any of them.
Wow. Well, you said it right, as always. Talk to you next month, Gerald. You be well.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Good night. One of our great people of our times, Gerald Celente. All right. We'll be back.